Good morning. It is very good to be with you again. For those of you who are new or have forgotten me, I was a deaconess intern here at Queen Anne Lutheran from June to December of last year, and it was a great privilege, and I could not be here on a busier, more wonderful Sunday to see you all again. This morning's gospel text from Mark pairs two stories that seem quite bizarre to pair together. And one of them, I will tell you, is easier to preach on than the other. I'll let you guess which is which. But in actuality, the pairing of Jesus' teachings on divorce and the lifting up of the little children is not bizarre at all. And it is well that we speak of them together. And I will share a little bit more about why that is. Both Jesus' teachings on divorce and the blessing of the little children are rejection of the human hardness of heart spoken of in this text and the lifting up of the vulnerable among us. Anytime that we read scripture, particularly the teachings of Jesus, it is imperative that we remember Jesus was a teacher who taught orally in his time to the people to whom he spoke. We don't have access to Jesus' teachings in that way today. We have the recorded word of his teachings. In this text, when the Pharisees ask a question about divorce, they are not people from our time asking about divorce today. You'll notice that the question asked is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And then they refer to a commandment from Moses that does permit the writing of a certificate of dismissal to divorce her. So to understand this a little better, I wanted to share a brief passage from Deuteronomy 24, which references this law. It reads as such: Suppose a man enters into a marriage with a woman, but she does not please him because he finds something objectionable about her. So he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. She then leaves his house and goes off to become another man's wife. Then suppose the second man dislikes her, writes her a bill of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her from his house. Or perhaps the second man who married her dies. Her first husband, who sent her away, is not permitted to take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled. This is the word of the Lord. So let's recap together. Who can issue a certificate of divorce? The husband. Correct. Why? I don't like her. She didn't do the dishes today. I don't know. But she failed to please him. Okay. What happens to the objectionable woman? She's sent from the house. She's got a piece of paper. For those of you who are familiar with this context or this time, this is not particular to the early Hebraic culture. This is most of human history together. What are a woman's options once she is sent from a home? Destitution or prostitution? Did I hear that right? Begging, poverty, prostitution. Yeah, dying. Maybe she'll be lucky and have family she can go back to. If she's had a son, perhaps her son and daughter-in-law might take her in if she hasn't had a chance. That won't happen. Or she'll find another husband. This is the system to which Jesus is speaking. This is the system about which Jesus is being asked. So the divorce that the Pharisees are asking about, is it lawful? It is a test. In the same ways that asking Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar, was a test. It is meant to be a question that Jesus cannot answer and come out looking good. And so he does not fall for it in typical Jesus fashion. He's not impressed. And he says, Moses has said that a man can do this. And that is because of the hardness of heart of the people. And then he says, but from the beginning of creation, God has made them male and female. He points again to the equality of the sexes in the creation. This is not male and then his property female. This is we are born in the image of God. We as a people are imago Dei, male and female. And then he says, the commitment of marriage is that two people become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Sometimes we hear the traditional language, what God has joined, let no man put asunder. Yeah, that's this text that's being referenced. So Jesus is standing against abusive systems of power between men and women of the time, and he is standing for safe, loving relationship maintained in the joining of God and in one flesh. So I am not here to speak to what Jesus would say about divorce today. We don't have access to that. We do see in this text that Jesus is not a stickler for the law, but he is a stickler for right relationship. And what we do know today, and I'm particularly mindful that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, is that unions that have been formed in love are destroyed by many things in our world. Too often that may be divorce, but abusers destroy relationships. Insurmountable loss destroys relationships. Betrayal that cannot be brought back into trust and right relationship destroys relationships. And for some who have been in a marital bond, divorce is the only healthy, safe response to destruction that has already occurred in a relationship that was meant to be safe and loving. And so we are mindful today of what Jesus speaks against, abusive power, and what Jesus speaks for, right relationship that is safe, loving, and joined in God. Two people who are indeed one flesh together, and where there is not abuse. So I told you that these two texts, the divorce text and the child text, are related, and that's because Jesus' message is consistent as we come to the passage about little children. Again, we have to stretch out of our modern imagination a little bit. It sounds like the disciples are being jerks. These families are bringing little children to Jesus that he might touch them and bless them, and the disciples are being stern and turning away these children. The disciples are acting appropriately with the societal expectation of the worth of children. Children occupy the lowest status in society. We just witnessed a beautiful baptism, and it's so hard for us to imagine today that little Paige is the most worthless creature in this room. Not today. She's the shining jewel in the room at the moment. I shared at the 8 o'clock service, my husband and I are expecting our first child in the spring. And already the new shining jewel of the household is about the size of a lemon and dictating our lives. So this is something that it is very difficult for us to imagine. But in this time, children got sick easily, were often born too plentifully into families that could not care for them. It was hard to trust your attachment to your child because it was unlikely they would make it to adulthood. So here Jesus sees again a societal standard, and again it is Jesus who is politically incorrect. It is Jesus who breaks down barriers and says, no, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these to which the kingdom of God belongs. Does this sound like the Beatitudes to anyone else? This is so consistent with Jesus' ministry of his time. Is show me the lowest and the least that you've got, and I will tell you that it is these who will receive the kingdom of God, and that you too, to receive the kingdom of God, must be like them. This is not Jesus' call for us to have the maturity of faith of a five-year-old. This is Jesus' call to say, do you know what it is to be the least among you? Will you know the kingdom when you see it if what you seek is power, if what you seek is status? These children know nothing of that. They know only the trust and the love that they can receive that will help them move forward into a new world and a new creation. And this is who Christ is. This is who we follow. And it has everything to do with the ministry that you do here at Queen Anne Lutheran. I know there's an orientation after this service for your Mary's Place hosting here later this month. This has everything to do with women, children, and families displaced from their homes by broken relationships and broken economic structures. It has everything to do with Lutheran Counseling Network, which I am grateful that you host one of our offices and are a partner with us in the ministry to individuals, couples, and families who are struggling and need support. And it is even appropriate that this text falls on the celebration of the Feast of St. Francis, who, in addition to his love for furry critters and feathered critters around the world, also worked greatly to aid the poor, leaving his own life of wealth and power to become a nomadic preacher, preaching to the birds. But most of all, this has to do with our shared baptismal calling together as a people, and has to do with the affirmation of the meal that reminds us of God's grace that we join in together this morning. A reminder of the ministry that we share as Christ's followers that you in this congregation take so seriously, that grows out of the baptism that we are reminded of today in witnessing pages. And it is a difficult path to follow. But as always, when I am here with you, I find myself grateful to be on it with you and grateful for the continued sustenance and support of the body of Christ in our sisterhood and brotherhood. And so I will close today, hoping to connect with you all after the service, but also to connect with you all at the meal. Thank you.